The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. Well, in the BS Report, taping this on a Friday, running it July 4th week. It's an evergreen podcast, TV. In the house, Joe House.
Hey.
Dave Jacoby from Grantland.
Hello.
A.K.A. the Czar.
Of reality television.
And we are going to talk about a bunch of television shows. You might not watch some of them. And if you don't want any spoiler alerts about the real world St. Thomas, I feel like we could spoil that one.
Yeah.
It's unspoilable.
We're going to talk Game of Thrones.
I'm in.
That one I might spoil. And then we'll see where it goes from there. But I want to talk about the real world franchise because I'm really concerned. I'm concerned about Boone and Murray in general. I know it's just Murray has left. I think Boone tragically passed away
yes.
a couple years ago.
R.I.P. Murray Ellis Boone.
First of all, 52 weeks a year, we should have Real World or Road Rules Challenge type shows on that Wednesday night 10 o'clock spot. There hasn't been a show on for 10 weeks. Czar, what's going on here?
You're right. They should have something in that spot.
It should be like Housewives with Bravo.
I think
it should be every Wednesday night, 10
and
o'clock,
not only
period.
That, like Housewives with Bravo, they should overlap.
Yes.
If you'll notice, like a lot of there's usually two Housewives running at once. Rarely do they just have one. But I think what's happening there is they've got the Teen Mom franchise and the 16 and Pregnant, and that franchise is taking up that spot a lot. And also the Jersey Shore influx with their spin-off shows.
With all those crappy shows that nobody watches.
I watched Snooki and Jay Well last night after I left your house, and it's unwatchable. Even I can't
what is it?
Get
they,
through half
they're
an
just
hour.
Living in an apartment?
It's Snooki's pregnant. That's it. Snooki's pregnant. That's the one storyline.
Ugh.
It sounds detestable.
I would have detested if Snooki wasn't pregnant.
I detest everything associated with Jersey Shore now.
I was out. I jumped out pretty early.
Did you see any Pauly D project?
No, you told me.
Oh, I'd be in on that.
it already aired.
Oh.
It had a full season. Was it any good?
It had a full season?
It had a full season. None of you guys even... It's so weird how you can have Jersey Shore be like this international phenomenon, yet the first spinoff, it wasn't a blip on the radar. Like you two, who are reality TV jerks, don't even know that it aired.
Yeah. Well... I think Jersey Shore burned out. It did the classic mistake that the Osbournes did, where they milked the franchise as fast and violently as they could, and they killed it.
The other thing is, any time I take a spin through MTV to see what's on, it's only the teen thing. I mean, I don't know what the concept there is.
I hate the Teen Mom thing so much. I hate it for a variety of reasons. One, I just hate it. Like, I hate what it says about our culture. I hate that people watch it. I hate that these people become celebrities that other people might think, oh, someday that could be me.
Yes.
I'll get knocked up. I'll have a baby. The fact that they're on the cover of Us Weekly, the whole thing's amazing to me. And then, secondly, it takes away from my real world road rules. 2 weeks a year.
I mean, the way it's ruining society, sure. Like that's one aspect of what you don't like about
society
it.
Society is a small piece.
Yeah, yeah.
But my Wednesday nights is a whole other animal.
I understand.
The challenge should be at least three times a year. The challenge shouldn't be like the NHL where they have a season and then an off season. There should be no off season for the challenge.
It feels to me like if you can make a dollar off a season of the challenge, why not make $2 off two seasons of the challenge? Like, I don't think they're losing money on the show. So why not do it
more
often?
Why did Road Rules go away? That couldn't have been a cheaper show to have. They're in a bus that sits
all over
up the cameras.
That's expensive.
They're in a bus.
Remember at sea when they were, do you remember that one when they were on the boat?
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah,
that was a great
good.
One. They had Veronica.
I think
it just our generation? Like the new generation doesn't like these shows because they feel like they're old fart shows for people our age?
No, but they're all kids. The people on the shows are 15 years younger than us.
I know.
Yeah.
As we realized again, we were watching the real world St. Thomas.
Let's talk about St. Thomas.
Yeah. So
I've changed my opinion a little bit What? Since we watched it.
I said this to House. I hated it as I watched it, but then afterwards, I enjoyed thinking about like 7 or 8 different moments from it.
Yes, that's what happened to me too. I'm glad you're on the same page.
Like the guy
as I
taking
am.
His clothes off, the drug addict taking his clothes off and going into the hot tub was fantastic. I didn't truly appreciate the time.
I wish I could make jokes about his journal. It's just hard. Like, there's a gentleman on the show, and he's from Boston. There's always a guy from Boston on every reality show. There always is.
And it's never like...
Always the best representative.
Yeah. It's not...
Very accurate.
It's always like a, you know, it's one side of Boston.
They don't take it from the academia side of Boston. Let's just say that.
It's always somebody who has issues or a temper problem or... You know, it's never somebody who's like, yeah, I'm from Boston. I guess Danny was the closest one, but he got punched in the eye and
almost lost
turned into
eye.
A weirdo with that Austin season. But yeah, they don't. And it's also like always people that are in Boston. It's never anybody who's like, yeah, I grew up in Natick.
Yeah.
I grew up in Worcester.
It's always
like Southie or Charlestown. Like
Dorchester.
It's like almost like they're doing this deliberately to try to make the city of Boston look bad. This current guy, Brandon, is the worst one. He also, I don't like when they're 24. I think 24 is too old.
Too old? Really?
Yeah, it's a little old for me, for real world.
But, well, you know, as an old schooler, Kevin Powell was the original 24-year-old. Like, I'm a little bit older than the rest of the group, and I think that makes a nice dynamic. A little holier-than-thou dynamic for the older person.
Not if it's your rehab guy, though. That gets a little dark.
Yeah, well, that's what I was getting at, is he's an ex-addict, and He at one point he was like, "Well, all these other guys like going to the gym. I like to go get pierced and get tattoos."
Yeah,
he's an interesting fella.
Well, I think for the reason that you two guys both found appealing moments afterwards, I'm going to find myself not watching the show at all this season, but instead reading about it because I don't think I can sit through it. It makes me so uncomfortable watching that dysfunction. But I think I will find reading about it appealing.
One of my fears is that this season on was not only like not exciting.
It was abbreviated.
We were like, what? Like we had to rewind it and watch it again. It seemed like it wasn't formatted right. It wasn't long and it wasn't good.
I'm telling you, I think Murray's. I don't know what happened to Murray.
Well, I think
Murray's got to get his ship in order. I can tell you.
I think what's happening is I think John Murray's is more of the development side, the business side of the company, and he kind of feels like the real world is something that he no longer has to have a day to day effect on. And I think that we're starting to see that.
It was all a teaserless teaser. It was Jim
Courier punching himself in the face.
Jim Courier, yeah. And it wasn't even like a full punch. It was like you couldn't even tell if he totally hit himself in the face.
I think you like the way same way you can't drown yourself. I don't think you can fully punch yourself in the face. Like your arm won't let you.
That's something I always do to my son when I'm torturing him. He's like, why are you hitting yourself in the face? Why? It's like those little dad-son things you do. Like,
yeah, my kids.
Stop it. Why are you doing that? They start laughing and then they can't.
Then they start crying.
Yeah, but the mutant Jim Carrey just started doing that to himself.
He just punched himself in the face. But that's it. That's all that happens
in the
entire season.
Right?
Well, you know, when you look back at this first episode, you had the guy take his clothes off in the hot tub, which was awesome.
Mm. Well, I mean, before that,
he tried to basically get attention, but everybody was like, dude, this is weird. Stop.
He falls in love.
He
fell in love. It's like, hey, my name's Laura. He's like, hey, I'm Brandon. It's like, cool. Nice to meet you. I love this girl.
Well, look, there's precedent for that.
Yeah, that's happened before.
The Hurricane just two seasons ago. Well, I don't remember
his real name. She brought her adoption papers out twice in the same night.
It was like a bit. It was like she did two stand-up sets at two different clubs.
Yeah.
She just did the same set twice.
Yeah. Can we have a 9:30 at Caroline's?
Yeah.
Also, like, well, I guess that was part of her shtick. I don't know if I bring my adoption papers to St. Thomas to show the roommates. Maybe keep that back at my house. What's the point of bringing that stuff?
I think that
the producer told her. About
yeah,
it.
I think that was part of her appeal.
Hey, you're all packed, right? What's her name?
Laura. They want nothing.
Hey, Laura,
more.
You're all packed, right? Did you bring the adoption papers?
Yeah, they want nothing more than her. They've done this before too. The search for the biological parents on the reality show. That's an old.
Try and search from St. Thomas. Yeah, it's not exactly conducive.
Yeah, I don't think your dad's like a yacht captain.
Maybe he is.
Maybe he is.
That's the story.
Yeah, maybe that's it. That's why they gave the papers. This is one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you guys on the pod, because I do worry that we've seen every plot. Are there any plots left? I guess, like, having a piercing earrings guy who is seems like he's semi-self-destructive, I guess, is a new step. I don't know. I just feel like we've been down all these roads.
Yeah, we've had – Dominic was the rehab. Remember Dominic, the alcoholic from L.A.? That was like season two. Like, we've already done that thing, too.
They're taking this kid who was just in rehab 6 months ago for hard drugs, and they're putting him on in St. Thomas in a show where everybody gets drunk every night.
And the first thing he does is gets drunk. And I've never been to rehab yet. Yeah. I'm working on developing a heroin problem shortly after this podcast.
That's that we must that we consider.
But I imagine that they don't encourage binge drinking. I'm just going to throw that out there.
In rehab?
Yeah. I imagine they don't. Yeah, I'm imagining they're not like, you know what you should probably do? You should probably go to an island where they party all the time and binge drink. I don't think they encourage that.
I'm trying to remember the Celebrity Rehab episode with Dr. Drew where they covered the merits of binge drinking. I don't remember.
No, I don't remember that group therapy session.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to get wasted.
Yeah.
So
can we talk about the debate that we had?
Well, we're skipping over the there are two real stories. One was that the biggest thing that happened in the first episode revolved around a mystery poop.
Oh, yes, yes. The unflushed
Which
mystery
I felt
term.
Like was new history for the real world.
Yeah, I don't remember a mystery poop.
You just said, are there any new pots?
Yeah, that was good. It's the most important thing that happened in the first episode.
However, over the last 27 seasons, I'm sure there was a previous mystery turd that we're glossing over.
It was great.
It was.
It was the most interesting cast member.
At what point...
It created the most drama. It paid off.
At what point is it pathetic that I'm in my early 40s and I... it was pathetic 8 years ago. Yeah. I'm trying to make that clear.
So generous. 10, 12, 16.
But we were saying when we were watching it, the girl from Long Island who's...
Staten Island.
Mm. It's a little what's the right word? What's the nice word?
Be nice.
I know.
Be nice.
Whatever.
Can we talk about the fact...
I don't know what you're trying for.
I was just going to say everyone blamed her.
Yeah.
It's a terrible sign for her when you're getting blamed for the 13-inch mystery poop.
Yeah. If there's a mystery poop at the Grantland office, I would definitely blame House. There's no question.
Well, first of all, I would own up to it immediately.
Yeah.
It would be the least mysterious mystery poop ever.
Yeah.
But really, the thing that was so interesting about her response, she didn't really put up that big a fight.
No. Well, that's what made it seem like... And then the other girl who's the...
The Lingerie Football League quarterback.
The prettiest girl in the house, but not by real world standards.
We have to address that. I got multiple emails from different sources.
Including
some Grantland staff members.
This became a topic of discussion. Least attractive cast ever.
Is it?
It really depends on how you feel about the Boston cast. It depends on how you feel about the Brooklyn cast.
The original cast.
The original cast. And then I threw the L.A. cast in, and you said Tammy, Kenny Anderson's future wife, was actually attractive that year.
Yeah, she was.
I thought about this. Her personality...
she did have a...
Her personality was so unlikable. I never felt like she was attractive.
I never forgave her for getting David
out. Get that guy David out?
Yeah, he was the most interesting cast.
I mean, I don't feel like she was quote-unquote hot. I think she was pretty, but her personality outweighed any prettiness.
But she certainly put them out of the contention of worst-looking cast, in my opinion.
Everybody else on that cast, though, was not.
Boston has it, hands down.
Boston was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was kind of fitting, because it was... I was living in Boston when the railroad was there. It was pretty bad in Boston, too. So we couldn't even get a cute railroad cast. It was mid-90s. It was tough. It was grim.
I just don't understand how they put this show. I think they're starting to figure out that let's just put this show in party locations. You know, San Diego, Las Vegas, St. Thomas, Cancun. You know, they're on.
But San Diego is a bad idea because it's too hard to get around there, and everything's like cabs and $30 cabs.
Made up for it with attractive cast members.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But St. Thomas, I had higher hopes for because it's a cab-driven tropical location.
Yeah, and it's also there's a lot of tourists. I think the influx of a lot of new people, like people on vacation. Like if you stay in one place where a lot of people come through, that it's good for drama. It's good for hooking up. It's good for partying.
I think the one that they messed up the most, if you just think back to all the different locations, was Real World Hollywood. Should have been awesome. Mm. And you could even argue that Real World Hollywood should just be its own show. It should just be seven wannabe actors and actresses that live in a house and try
just
to
have
make
the
it
same
work.
House and
just have the same house and different seven new actors and actresses every time.
Yeah.
That's they're what, all going on auditions. That's a show.
Look, let's just get macro on you for a second. That's what pretty all these reality shows should be. Jersey Shore should be that too. That's why Survivor doesn't go away. Real World doesn't go away because there's always a new season. There's always new faces and personalities.
But that's a different point from the point I made. I think that's actually a show.
I totally agree with this.
I like seeing like people trying to break into the acting industry. And there's a million kajillion people, and they all have weird their Starbucks baristas or their you know their waitering tables on the sides or whatever, just trying to break in, and they're all around here.
Yeah,
I want to see them live in a house.
What if you get free rent for like a time limit, like in four? We'll give you 4 months to make it, a little buffer zone to like make your way out to Hollywood, and we'll
none
put
of them
you
are from here. They're all like you get thrown together. So
I want this show on HBO or Showtime.
Well, that's what we've you and I have talked about this in the past.
Yes.
This is an HBO show.
Absolutely. Well, MTV can't be bothered. They're too busy showing pregnant 15-year-olds.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. There might be Amber that freaking might get out of jail and have another kid before she goes back. I hate that show so much.
I hate it too.
I feel
I can't
like as a society we're failing that show is still in the air and people watch it.
I watch the trashiest television possible. Like I search it out and enjoy it. And when that show is on and my wife is watching it, I leave the room. That's how much I hate it.
I'm fine with the show itself. I'm not fine with them becoming celebrities from the show. That's where I draw the line.
It's a cautionary tale. It's a one-hour program.
Yeah,
where it belongs.
It's not a cautionary tale.
No, it should be. That's the point. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
They like to pretend it's a cautionary tale, but it's not.
I know.
If you're a 14-year-old with nothing going on, this is like one of the few ways you can ever become anything.
You think – I really think that there are impressionable young men and women that look up to the people on that show as role models. I really think that.
Yeah, I know. That person reminds me of my cousin who just had a kid.
And it's not enough to trot Dr. Drew out, you know, once every 6 months to have him sit down with them and attempt to explain reality to them and to try and justify it that way.
Oh, you want to hear one of my rules?
What?
Nobody under 18 allowed on reality television.
Oh.
It's just not allowed. You are not allowed on reality television if you're under the age of 18 years old.
How does that stand for Kourtney Kardashian's kid? That's gonna
You're not on the show. You cannot be on the show. These people. I feel like if they don't, we've established through various different laws that they're not necessarily adults and they don't act as free will. So now you're putting somebody on television against their will. I don't care if the 5-year-old is like, oh, I like being on TV. I like the cameras. It's like, nope, you're 5 years old. This is going to have a negative impact for you down the road. Until you're 18, no reality TV. Your thoughts.
Well, this goes into a whole other discussion about what's the upside of having your child become a celebrity in any way, shape, or form.
I can't.
Let's be honest. Like any parent who does that is a parent that wants to make money or is trying to live vicariously through their kid or something. Because
what if you? Let me throw this out there just to try to poke a hole in it. Imagine one of your children is 13 and really, really enjoys theater. Like really enjoys.
I wouldn't let my kids be anything, movies, TV, where they could be famous.
What if they really enjoy it? What if it's their
good
passion?
They can go to college for it, and then after college they can try to do it.
That's fair.
Back to the Teen Mom thing. It's just at some point ratings should not matter. Like MTV would get ratings if they had two people fight into a coma.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Right.
That's
a coma fight.
It's called UFC.
UFC.
Oh, crap.
It's called MMA.
I'm into it.
You can have MMA without referees, and that would get ratings too, but that doesn't mean it's a good idea.
Yeah.
You could have a show where you could have people daring each other to jump off a higher and higher point until somebody gets hurt, and that would I'd watch that too, but that doesn't mean it's a good idea.
The tricky part about Teen Mom is I'm sure that the suits, you know, up on high at 1515 Broadway have an answer for this, and the answer is like, this is we're documenting the lives of real people.
They're lying though. They're not documenting.
But that's what they're telling themselves.
People.
You know what I mean? That's the delusion. That's the reality that they create. So they feel like it is a cautionary tale.
It is the most vulnerable segment of our society.
if I'm going to see people get exploited, I'd rather they were in their early 20s and all living in a house together as seven random strangers.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the right. kind of exploitation right. that I want, with bedroom cameras.
Yes.
And all the and a fully stocked bar. And
and a smush room.
At least they're old enough to be manipulated.
Right.
You're manipulating 15-year-olds in the middle of nowhere who this is they're all of a sudden the most famous person in their little small town because their MTV cameras are falling around because they're pregnant. Because mm-hmm. their idiot boyfriend knocked them up, you know, in the fucking freaking drive-in theater one night.
Drive-in theater?
I don't know. I was feeling it.
Drive-in theater?
I was feeling the drive-in
is
theater.
Is 1957 all of a sudden?
Feeling the drive-in theater. They still have them.
Were you drinking a malt at the time?
They still have the drive-in theaters. Watching Marilyn Monroe movies.
Yeah, good.
They don't have drive-in theaters anymore.
I'm sure that, you know, they have, like, retro everything, but they're no longer a part of our, like, American culture.
So... You think the real world, do we need more of it? Do we need to change it? Do we just abandon it? What do we do with this show?
It comes, like most television shows, especially sports studio shows, it just comes down to talent. It comes down to the human beings. The format is not broken. Seven people living in a house.
It's like Survivor.
It just comes down to who they are. It's just the cast. They just need to do a better job casting it.
Well, the big mistake they made this year was it's St. Thomas and you're in bathing suits 98% of the time. Just go seven best-looking
people. Just models. Yeah. Just go to modeling agencies.
They got three good-looking guys, right?
Yep, three.
Tell us more, House.
Yeah.
and by comparison to the females, the men are the
I like the
more attractive...
Hair.
Portion of the cast.
They don't have the bombshell.
No.
They don't even have she's not totally bombshell, but I'm talking myself into her shell.
No, they don't.
Like that girl, who's the girl in the second Vegas season?
Trishelle?
No. The second one, the one who, she was adopted.
Oh,
And she got Nani. Involved with the crazy Nani. Person. Yeah, she got involved with the crazy guy.
Adam Royer.
Our buddy.
Adam Royer wants to come on the podcast.
What?
Yeah, he tweets at us.
Really?
Yeah.
Leroy is the guy we should have on the podcast.
Yeah.
Leroy had, like, some interesting thoughts about the whole fishbowl existence of that culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also confirmed Nani's very attractive.
What locations are left that we haven't seen yet?
I want to do some real fish-out-of-water stuff.
I agree. The world.
Yeah.
That's
like,
what I would say.
Like, I would just be like, the real world, Uganda. I'm like, all right, I'm
Uganda?
In.
Uganda?
Yeah. It's like, I'm in. Let's do this. Let's go to Cambodia. Let's get weird.
I was thinking Cambodia would be interesting. My agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, is on an African safari right now. Okay. I was thinking that would be an awesome real world.
I think they've done that.
He's mailed pictures of, you know, of like a lion killing a wildebeest. Of like, this season on the real world, real world Africa. And we have those kind of things. But
seven strangers picked to live in a house with wild animals.
Are we sure that London, we shouldn't go back? Like that wasn't just a bad cast?
I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that show at all.
Because Paris didn't work.
Paris did work.
The cast worked.
Yeah,
but the
right.
location
Paris,
itself.
That's one of the best draft classes in the history
but
the of the
location
world.
Was bad. It was a
Why
lot
was
of like.
Bad location?
Because they were like. Their
isolated.
House was too far away.
They were isolated. You could tell they were like. They were in like the like, you know, the Long Island of Paris.
You need to be in the city for that show.
Yeah.
Even like New Orleans, that house was right in the middle of everything. That's what you need. You need people to be able to walk.
Yeah.
Walking is good for the real world.
What would you do?
If
someone gave you the reins to the real world?
What would I do?
Yeah.
I would go eight roommates,
okay.
four and four, because
okay.
that leaves more room for somebody to get kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
You have a little more flexibility with the roster. And then you can take more chances with the cast members. I would do a spin-off show with a Hollywood show with all actors and actresses.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be good. What about a mid-season replacement? I always like when they shake up the cast.
Oh.
If just like
they used to be a staple.
After,
it really
after,
did.
Yeah, after five episodes, like, all right, here's Steve and Tracy.
Well, that's a Bad Girls Club move.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think we're going to get that in this season. There's definitely somebody that's leaving St. Thomas.
Because the guy who wrote Oliver's Journal, I hate me, all that stuff, you think he's going?
I have a speaking expert
official.
It's weird.
And then left the journal out?
Yeah.
Hey, man, here's my journal.
Yeah.
The guy out of rehab 6 months who got obliterated drunk on the very first episode.
For 4 hours.
Yeah.
By the way. Who has a journal in 2012?
Yeah, a composition notebook.
A journal?
I'm surprised.
You made fun of me for drive-in theaters.
Yeah, if you're under 25, I'm surprised you can even write with your hands.
I was dumbfounded by that. Why? What would you do if you had the reins?
If I had the reins, I honestly would just put all my efforts into casting. I just think that they're settling on the cast.
They certainly did this year.
Yeah, I really think it's about the human beings, and I would go with the mid-season. I think you have to shake it up every. What if they said this, Bill? If they were like coming up next week on Real World, two new roommates, and they blur out their faces, and they just get reaction shots of them being like, "What?" and they're talking to each other, be like, "Oh my god, I can't believe it." This and that. Like you're watching that show. I think you have to kind of like shake it up every few episodes with the cast.
You wouldn't shake it up like, "Hey, I have seven males and one female, entire season."
I don't think that's the
seven
real world.
Seven females and one male? Just mess with the ratios?
No, I would not do that.
No?
No.
Would you do seven females and one male?
Yes.
That would be interesting. Girls do kind of secretly hate each other.
Yeah. The Bachelor's always better than The Bachelorette for a reason.
Yeah. Let's segue to that really quick. That's another show that probably needs some fixing.
You think?
Yeah.
You didn't watch last episode then because
it was
so
terrible.
Good.
It was just because the one guy got stalky.
Good.
That was
it. It was so good. Loved it.
But they were clearly manipulating that guy and telling him. I have to admit, I haven't seen that much, but I had that one on because my wife was watching. I was answering emails. It was the client, and I popped my head up like, "What's up with that guy? Is he? What's going on? He's got kind of a crazy look." What was his name? Chris.
Chris. Yeah.
And then he interrupted the rose ceremony, which I've never seen before.
Yeah, I was. Well, I actually wrote that I thought Chris – one of the things about Chris being crazy that surprised me is he doesn't have a traditional crazy face. Like remember when we went to a Laker game and you're like, watch Ron Artest. Like just watch him. And when you look at his face, like he doesn't really make the same eye contact
you
as everybody
that.
Else.
You're a stereotype.
Yeah, and it was just like, wow. Like Ron Artest
is awesome
His body moves like a crazy person. Like it's just
people react to him like a crazy person.
Yeah, when he sweats crazy juice. And like
the other people on the court are kind of – it's like he's a pit bull or something.
Yes.
Gingerly walk around him.
Exactly. So yeah. It's a different – yes, when you walk down the street and someone's got a pit bull, you definitely like –
you
curve a little bit further out than you would for another type of dog.
That's
Ron Artest, exactly. And Chris didn't have that look, but he certainly had that behavior.
Hmm. I don't watch that show.
You've never watched that show?
Never watched that show.
I'm missing out.
Is it Ron that I was like totally bummed out that Emily's had all kinds of plastic surgery and might be a gold digger?
It's wrong that you didn't just assume that from the jump.
I probably should have, right?
Yeah.
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 What do you think about the Chris Harris and Emily rumors?
I don't think they're true, but I love them.
It's a great one.
You know what I mean?
They're probably planning it to try to get
I just want to give a shout to Juliet in our office who, I mean, the second it was like, oh, Chris Harrison separated, she was like, Emily Maynard. It was like the second she heard the news, it was the first words out of her mouth were like, he's dating Emily.
Juliet's turned into, remember that guy that Belichick had, Ernie Adams, the guy who was like in the press box, like who could read defenses and stuff and would kind of help Belichick. Juliet's turning into your Ernie Adams with reality.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. She writes the thing.
She's in the press box.
She writes the thing every week.
In the press box, pointing out defenses and stuff
exactly.
that you haven't seen.
I need that. I can't do it by myself.
So, The Bachelorette is going to end soon. And then here's another example of, like, The Bachelorette is a great show.
Yeah.
Bachelorette should be on more often. Why do I have to wait until the summer for Bachelorette?
I don't know, but
it's
they
an awesome show.
They don't
I
take,
love Bachelorette.
Like the ABC doesn't take a week off. The second the Bachelor's over, the Bachelorette starts.
Yeah.
The second the
That's
Bachelorette's over, the Bachelor
Pad
starts.
It's a 52-week franchise. They're smart.
Yeah, they're smart about it. They're squeezing all the juice out of that orange.
Remember, I don't remember if we talked about this or not, but the Paradise Hotel run in 2003.
Golden Era.
When it just, there was no sign that it would ever end. There was no finish
line. They had a format. The format was like a river.
It was
awesome.
It
just kept flowing.
It just kept
getting new people in. People would leave. People would come. People would leave. People would come. It could have been like a network. It could have been a network.
It was like being in Vegas where you can't see a clock.
Yes.
It was like, what time is it? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's going to be on again next week.
Yeah.
What are they playing for? We don't know.
And Paradise Hotel was like
that
too.
Why did that show go away? A. B, why aren't there any clips of the original Paradise Hotel on YouTube?
I don't know. I don't think
I think me and you
are the only people that care about the Paradise
story
Hotel.
With this. I don't think
anyone listening to this even knows that it's a
show. Remember there was a lawsuit with that cast?
No.
Yeah, there was a lawsuit. Like a guy and a girl, they broke up or something. Somebody sued somebody.
House, have you ever heard of this show before?
I think I heard of it.
It was
when
awesome.
It, when it came out, and
it
I watched one episode, but I wasn't
I
in.
I love Paradise
Hotel. Season 2 was on Fox Reality.
I loved it so much.
And they had like a spin-off, like the unclipped. Yeah, no. There was like a Showtime, like...
Oh yeah.
Show that was like a sister show to it.
Love Cruise was the spinoff. It was basically Paradise Hotel on a cruise.
I didn't see Love Cruise.
That was awesome. I like when I've said it before, when there's a game, but the game is undefinable, but then everybody constantly talks about the game and they're just playing the game. But there was no end prize for the game. It's like, well, you know Jacoby, he's just playing the game.
He's just
And you know what? He better watch out, man. The game's going to play him. It's a lot of that.
Maybe that's what the real world needs. The real world.
The game?
Yeah.
Like no ending?
Yeah.
I like the idea of you have to pair with somebody. This is what Bachelor Pad does really well. You're paired with somebody. They basically ripped off Paradise Hotel. You pair with somebody, but then you might become attracted to somebody else. But you're still trying to win whatever the game is. With this person, but then that person's like, yeah. And then you go for what? But this person already had a crush on you. And then
Love in the Wild does that too.
Love
in the Wild
tried
that too.
Love triangles.
Love triangles play.
None of this is rocket science.
And just shake it up. I feel like the producers need to have a house where everybody lives in and then another house with five other people just waiting there just in case.
Well, that's what Paradise Hotel, they hit all of these notes. They had a giant house with a huge pool and a bar.
Yep.
And the competitions were stuff like, we're having a Vegas party tonight.
I don't even remember
the competition. It wasn't even a competition. It was like, it's a Vegas night tonight. Oh, it's Vegas night?
Yeah,
oh, cool.
It'd be like themed parties every night.
Theme party were the competition. And then everyone would vote out one person, but then somebody would come back. Either come in the house or come back.
Be fresh and new,
Be a fresh one, or be like, we voted you out. No, they're back now.
He's back, yeah.
So it was basically they could control it however they wanted. And if they didn't like how the house was going, and if people, then they would say, well, tonight we could vote out two, and these eight people are exempt, and like they could totally manipulate.
Like, I feel like at some point, like during this real world season, if you don't have anything to show on this season on, at some point, if you're the producer and you're 2 weeks into shooting or 3 weeks into shooting, and these people are just all getting along and it's nothing good is happening, you should have a plan B to mix it up. You should be like, oh, here are two new people for the house.
I think it's a wake up call for Murray.
The thing is like the numbers don't lie. People still watch it. Like, that's one of the biggest problems about Jersey Shore is people still watch it.
Yeah. Are people really watching Jersey Shore still?
Yes. They really are. And that's more than any other reality show, that's the one that needs to change.
I have a theory on this. Once something gets into your DVR, the ratings, it's very hard. Like, it's kind of a pain in the ass to delete stuff from your season
Impossible.
Pass.
It'll take me a half an hour.
I have things that tape on my daily pass, and I'm just too lazy to go through and try to figure out the delete.
It's impossible.
Like, I was DVRing The Daily Show for a while, but now I haven't been watching it, and I just want to get rid of them, but I'm too lazy to kind of figure out how to do it. But I think when people, once they DVR Jersey Shore and it's just popping up once a week, they just delete it over deleting from the DVR. But every time it pops up, that's a view.
I wonder if time-delayed viewing, if they... They only take into account whether or not you record it, or they factor in whether you actually watch it.
If you record it, that's, yeah.
If you record it, if you watch it.
I don't know. I thought it was if you recorded it.
I think so, too. But it'd be more interesting to get the numbers of if whether or not you watched it.
Because with 30 for 30, when we stupidly changed the name, it was no other word than stupid, when we made it ESPN Films Presents or whatever we tried to do.
Good one.
Other people had 30 for 30 in the DVR, and then the new documentaries weren't popping up.
Mm-hmm.
But we have all these people who have 30 for 30 still in their DVR. So as soon as we start doing these this fall, they'll all start popping in again. It's like a huge advantage. It's almost like having Twitter followers, like how you can't lose Twitter followers. Once you have a Twitter follower, it's very hard for someone to be like, I'm not following that person anymore. Like, you're kind of in with Twitter followers. So we have that advantage. But anyway, I feel like they have no idea how to track this stuff, and I think they're lying like 3/4 of the time.
I just find it amazing that in today's day and age, with all the data and analytics that are out there, that it's still like my grandma with like a pen and paper being like, I watched General Hospital today, and like writing it down. And like, that's how $1 billion advertising industry is decided. It's like somebody at home, like with like a journal writing down, like, I watched this today.
I remember I was out with two of the people that run Apple, like literally two of the people that run Apple. They were explaining how the iTunes rankings work.
Okay.
And basically they can only track episodes, and they can track new subscribers. So when they have rankings for podcasts, it's a mix of like whatever they think the total downloads were, but which they can really only measure for episodes and if you subscribe to it and it downloaded. And some calculation with that plus new users, which is why like when we launched a Grantland Network, I was going to be like, watch this, we'll be the number one sports podcast. And then it drops down because the way they view it, like if you're starting a podcast from scratch, you're immediately going to be, you know, way higher than you'll end up being.
Yeah.
And what I thought was interesting was they said they had no way to determine exactly how many people listen to every podcast.
I just don't understand that.
Like, or no, I screwed that up. They have no way of determining how many people have subscribed to a podcast. That's what it was.
I don't believe them.
They make, what, $10 billion? They have no way. So it's like they said the only really accurate thing is they have the episode rankings.
Yeah.
So if you look at the episode rankings, that's the most accurate reflection they have of who listened to a podcast. But once you get into the shows, a lot of it depends on how recently created the show was, which is just bizarre to me. Really? We can't just figure out like how many – you know, like we get the podcast numbers for our things, and we don't totally know how accurate they are.
No. No idea.
We're hoping they're accurate.
And also it seems like there's downloaded and then there's like completed downloads.
Right.
And it seems like no one listens to an entire podcast. Like,
or you listen to part of it.
Yeah. No one listens to an entire podcast.
Or you listen to part, you come back later. Like, you might be worth four clicks, but you're the same click. So I think they've figured out it's like what? It's like 2.4 downloads per person. Something like that. That's like some weird formula people have.
Oh.
Every person is worth 2.2 downloads. Because you might have downloaded on iTunes. That's a download. Then you, when you listen to half of it, then you might have gone back and listened to more of it. So you're worth 2.2.
So your actual audience is pretty much half the number of downloads.
The point is, how can we not figure this out?
What are we talking about? Yeah, it's Jersey Shore. How do we not have hard data?
We have these tracking cookies. Like, God forbid you go on the wrong site. You have this tracking cookie. You can't get off your computer for 10 years.
Yeah.
iTunes can't track my podcast?
Yeah. Well, we'll work on that.
I don't know. What were we talking
about?
Game of Thrones.
It's time to do it.
Yeah, all right, finally.
So... I started watching Game of Thrones. By the way, if you haven't heard this show yet, just this will be the last thing we talk about, then we're going away. So I started finally watching Game of Thrones 2 weeks ago, and now I have two episodes left. I've did 18 of the 20.
Oh, season two. Two episodes left of the second season.
Yeah, you're about to watch the best episode.
I did season one and then eight of the 10 seasons.
The next episode's the best episode.
Everyone says the ninth episode of season two is awesome.
It's really enjoyable.
I don't know any of the names of three-fourths of the people in the show. I only recognize them by faces. I can't understand, like, one-third of the actors. I'm confused almost all the time.
Why do they have a British accent? Like, Peter Dinklage, I know what you sound like, and you're in Westeros.
Right.
Like, why are you speaking with a British accent?
Every episode, I read Wikipedia after, the Wikipedia recap, and then I read Greenwald's retroactive recap, and then even after those two things, I only understand 97% of what just happened, and yet I love this show.
There are so many levels of involvement, emotional investment, and like nerd community backlash on this show. There's like...
There's backlash on the show?
Oh, there's tons. Oh, there's the people that read the books, and then they're like, this isn't anything like the book. Like, oh, you guys, they didn't...
I gotta stop you for a second.
In the book.
I hate lots of people, like the douche weird stuff like
that. Ooh, I like where we're going.
I don't think I ever hate any of these the condescending type entertainment people.
Uh-huh.
The all-time worst people are the people who have read the books and the TV or the movie doesn't quite live up to the books and they have these 19 examples. It's like, you can't make a book exactly like a movie. Like, just accept that. You're not going to hit bat 100.
It's two different things.
I agree with that. It's two different things.
What's the point?
How about this? Push it in different directions. It's not a bad thing.
Right. The book's 1,000 pages long.
Right.
I'm going to sit here for an hour. For me to read 200 pages would probably take me 3 years.
Yeah, if I wanted the book experience, I'd read the book.
Right.
That's why I'm watching TV, because I want to see the
TV.
Can I
just watch the TV and not care about what was in the book?
There's boobs on the TV.
Yes!
Yeah, that's what ultimately started getting me watching. Somebody told me it was, you know, old school.
It's old school!
Yeah.
Yeah, because they didn't have implants back in the medieval times.
As far as we know. And they're also in another world. They're not in the medieval times. You know that, right?
We have
they have dragons there.
We have seen a couple of fully naked people, and I just don't believe they had bikini waxing in the 7th century.
You think that they're a little too well kept?
I don't think it was that well kept back in the day.
I was
it's a mature podcast, mature discussion.
This is a hypothetical world. This is not the 17th century on Earth. You know that, right?
What century is this supposed to be?
It's a different time and place.
It's a different planet.
It's a whole different universe.
Whatever time and planet it was, they didn't have bikini waxing.
They have dragons, dude.
All right, hey, dragons
and magic and ice zombies, and you're like, the nether region grooming is what I really have a problem with.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
dragons.
There's dragons,
that's
dude.
Right.
You're calling bullshit on the hair.
Yeah.
They might have dragons.
I'm gonna have to edit that out. And I'm gonna forget. We're all gonna get fired.
You bleep it.
I'm gonna forget.
They might have dragons, and they might have the walkers. But I do not think they had bikini wax specialists. I just don't.
Estheticians?
Like, what is the queen going to get a manicure? Like, come on. The best thing about this show is every time that I thought they pushed a boundary, they go a step further. Like, the first episode basically revolves around incest. It's like the key plot at the end is the key swerve is
child murder and incest.
It's incest sex that leads to an attempted child murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, they will. At least we know they won't run back the incest plot. And then, friggin' Theon, right before he goes, to the dark side, he's on the horse. The girl's like, "Can I give you a ride, my lord?" Starts feeling her up on the horse, and it was his sister.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Really? We didn't cover enough incest, Game of Thrones?"
Incest goes, it's on and on.
Incest is tough.
They got a lot of they cover a lot of that tough stuff. The child murdering stuff is pretty rough.
Jamie Lannister saying that his sister was the only one he's ever been with, unlike Eddard, the guy who got beheaded in episode 9.
Sure.
I call him Triple H. I call him
he does
character.
Look like Triple
looks
H.
Like Triple H.
That's the right answer.
Well, my wife and I watch these. We have all different names for the characters because we don't know what their real name was. Triple H's wife is Joan Allen. She looks like Joan Allen.
She does.
Yeah.
Who else?
Who else do we have? Well, the queen's obvious. That's the queen.
Yeah.
And then the queen's lover / brother is queen / lover brother.
Yeah.
I think what else? Joffrey's easy to remember.
Joffrey is easy to remember. He's a very memorable character.
He's so hateable and
awesome. Yeah, he's great.
He's such an underrated great character.
Listening to the Hollywood Perspectives podcast on the Grantland Network during the entire second season.
Seamless.
Yeah, it's a very different discussion about this show than this one.
Why?
they know the characters' names. You know, they've got certain plot points that they discuss every week.
I was able to drop
down.
Theon.
You know, they're not.
And Joffrey.
Joffrey? Well, I have two left, so we can't go too deep because I don't totally want to know what happened. But I do like the fact that anyone could be killed at any time, which I think is a really important thing
great.
For a drama.
Yes, that's a great point.
I like
point.
That they'll bring in new people at all times, which is another thing. You never want to get stale with your...
Yeah.
Collection of whoever. It's like a really good show. It's just going to get weirder and weirder.
Yeah. I like the geography aspect. It's got a strong sort of like geographical thread. Like I sort of have a lay of the land. They do it in the open very well. With the open is amazing. I love show opens, by the way. And the it's like a map, and then like
epic.
You can like if someone gave me a blank piece of paper, I could sketch out Westeros a little bit. And there's not a lot of shows where you're like, oh yeah, like geography plays a big role. Like I know Winterfell's in the north near the Wall, and like down the south is King's Landing, and then over to the across the Narrow Seas where the Dothraki hang out.
I do like the way they talk too. Like I like the my lord and my lady. And my grace.
Yes.
I called my daughter my grace a couple times. She was kind of into it. It's like, hey, my grace, where are we going today?
I like it that Carcetti plays such a big role.
Yeah,
I can't see. Yeah, he is Carcetti.
He does a great job.
I thought Carcetti was a bad actor on The Wire, but he obviously wasn't.
Because
he's good on this show.
Yeah. Oh, he's fantastic.
Littlefinger.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. He runs the brothel.
Yeah, I would hang with Littlefinger if I was in Westeros.
Anytime there's a scene at Littlefinger's house, it's like if you're reading or something, oh, there's Littlefinger's house.
Littlefinger's brothel.
Put the BlackBerry away for these 3 minutes. Littlefinger's up. They could have spun him off.
I have a pitch for you guys. Apparently, one of the reasons we don't get a lot of dragons is because they're expensive, which is fair. because they look really good. They're good-looking dragons. I've seen very handsome dragons.
Very believable.
Yes, and I want to start a Kickstarter because I feel like there's enough fans of this show to just
good
like
dragons.
More dragons Kickstarter account and just be like, I've got $15. I would contribute to that. You get a million people
that
throwing
was awesome
$15.
When Khaleesi had the dragons. Somebody emailed me a couple years ago saying how the most exciting moment of their week is when, you know, when they show the beginning, they show like what's in the show, and it's like SSC for strong sexual content, N for nudity,
yeah,
B for violence.
Yeah.
And he was like, if there's an N, I'm just spending the next 50 minutes just praying it's Khaleesi. And I read this going, what the hell is this? But I remember thinking it was funny enough for a mailbag and then not using it. And then now when you watch the show, you'd be like, yeah, no, Khaleesi.
I feel
Khaleesi
like
might be in play.
That one screen is a lot like last night's draft prospects. It's like you just want to check a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah, ooh, it's
I want violence.
Volunteer.
I want strong
yeah.
language. I want nudity. I want sexual situations.
I love that they'll have a whole bunch of stuff, but they won't have the eye for incest. How does incest not have a letter?
That and the child killing.
Yeah, it's CK.
Yeah,
CK for child killing.
CK and I.
I did a whole thing in a mailbag a few years ago about how we really need to improve this whole system, because I also want to know when there's male nudity.
Yeah, I agree with
that's
that.
That's a huge, like, for instance, the last episode of Mad Men, they had warning, this would be, there's nudity, and it was like, oh, maybe a little Megan Draper? No, it was freaking Roger.
Roger's
ass.
Roger's ass.
Oh, thanks for the nudity, Matthew Weiner. Like, he clearly just hates his audience. But, yeah, I need the MN.
Male nudity.
Or even a D for dollar.
I was going to say, yeah, it's a dollar.
MA for male ass.
I don't need to be warned about male ass. Dong I need to know about, though.
You need dong.
I'm out on dong. It's going to be on your gravestone.
The testicles, too.
Yeah, definitely.
D&T, dong and testicles.
D&T.
Yeah. I'm with you. I just think we could do better as a society.
I think so.
Whatever that card's called. What's it called?
Graphic.
Ratings.
The rating card?
I don't know. I'm sure there's a word for it.
Sometimes you get the SSC, the N, the V, and the adult situations. And what's the fifth one Game of Thrones
violence.
Always hits?
Violence.
No, that's what we said, the V.
Oh, the V.
There's a fifth one.
I don't know.
The heading? I don't know.
It's not one.
Good show. So when does it come back?
HBO takes 18 months with these things, man.
It seems like it's a super expensive show.
Yeah. But it seems like everybody watches it. At some point. I feel like it's one of those shows. It's like Breaking Bad. Like, maybe they don't get great ratings out of the jump, but, like, over time, everybody watches it.
Well, right. Hopefully it replaces True Blood. I tried to watch the beginning of that series this year. Oh,
you
my
hate
God.
True Blood.
I love True Blood.
It's unwatchable.
I love True Blood.
I can't take it.
Why do you like about it?
It's just schlocky and stupid.
That's
and fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun hour on my Sunday.
It went over the top for me.
That's
you know,
what I love about.
HBO, they deserve to be commended because they very smartly put all 20 episodes on demand of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to catch up, like, and especially with that HBO Go
HBO
app,
Go.
Which is one of the greatest things ever.
I feel like just taking flights just so I can watch HBO Go.
It's the best. I was in Miami. I was sick. I must have banged out like 8 of them. And it's just so easy to watch them. The iPad. God bless the iPad. Love the iPad. But they do a nice job. I don't feel like shows like AMC should do that with Breaking Bad. I know they make the DVD money, but it's only going to help them in the long run to be able to have your audience watch like the first 10 episodes.
We're watching them on Roku. We have Roku.
Roku?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's just another like – it's a streamer. It's connected to the internet. You can get stuff from it. It's the variety's not great, but you can get Netflix – like, it gives us Netflix, basically, to our screen. So we're watching Breaking Bad.
That's my last one. I'm going to be done with Breaking Bad by football season. Then I will have no shows that people will get mad at me that I'm not watching.
Did you watch The Shield?
No, because I watched like, the first 10 episodes. It was really good,
yeah.
But it's dated. We came out in, like, 1999, 2000.
It doesn't hold up.
Holds up, like, the pilot held up pretty well. It's just... You know, it's a big investment. It's like 8 seasons.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I tried to watch like 4 episodes. And I was like, whatever, Crooked Cops, I get it.
I'm sure it was awesome to watch live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Whitlock says that's still his number 2.
Behind The Wire?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. Or maybe he might have had Sopranos. What's weird is that I don't think Sopranos has held up that well either.
I've never seen it.
Really?
Never
not
watched
one episode?
Oh, I've seen a couple episodes, sure. But I've never watched The Sopranos. Just never got into it. I'm sure I would like it.
It's like if Sopranos is on A&E, I'm not flicking around. I won't be like, oh, this one's on. I'm going to watch this. But if there's a good Wire on from, you know, one of the wheelhouse sections, I'll stumble into it and watch the whole 45 minutes of
That's
it.
Weird. I like, there are some Sopranos that if I see what's going on, I'll sit down and get into it.
I might
a couple storylines.
At some
I really
point,
like.
I might run the whole series back, just because I can't really remember what happened. I'm bad with remembering things that happen on television shows that I've only seen once. You know.
Yeah, me too.
I just remember like the basic couple touchstone points, but that's it. What other show? What else is coming out? I guess we got Homeland.
I'm excited about
Homeland.
What else do we have?
Bachelor Pad, Homeland.
two shows. Actually, they've combined those two this year. There's a terrorist in the Bachelor Pad.
Dude, what about when does Beverly Hills come back?
Oh,
that's a good one.
They got rid of a couple of cast members.
Yeah, I don't think they can. I think that one got a little ugly.
God, that went to a dark place.
It went to a really
dark place.
That
went to the darkest place I think any reality show's gone to.
Well, I'd say Teen Mom is in a darker place 100% of the time.
This had like.
It was bad.
That was pretty bad.
It was bad. There were people were.
I didn't feel right about it.
Yeah.
I felt wrong about it.
I don't know anything about it. Give me the 30-second clip.
Guy's husband committed suicide.
Yeah.
What? The woman? A woman's husband?
Woman's husband.
Yeah. And then they started, they acknowledged at the start of the year, and then they went back, and then
they used footage of him.
Turns out she was saying he beat her up a couple times, and then.
I don't even feel comfortable talking about it right now. It's bad.
It's horrible.
It's that bad.
Okay.
And the other housewives confronted her.
And there's one with like a drug habit. I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but she was. It certainly seemed like she was visually sneaking around with.
Oh yeah, that was another one. Yeah, that was another one. Yeah.
I'm out.
Talk show. House is done. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Want to plug the Grantland Network really quick?
Yeah, check out the Grantland Network. Monday through Friday, we've got a new podcast every single day. Monday, Jalen Rose, Dave Jacoby. Then we got Andy and Chris.
Crandyland.
They hate the word Crandyland.
They hate it so much.
They really do.
Hate it so much.
Men in Blazers have been going strong for almost a year now.
Mm.
And then we the Triangle Podcast, you'll hear from Grantland writers. It's great. We got a good lineup. I'm very proud of the Grantland
Network.
Good lineup.
All right. Yeah, you've done a nice job of that.
All right. Well, we're going to get better.
Should we talk about the other thing that's coming?
No.
We won't talk about the other thing that's coming.
But something's coming.
Something's coming. Something's coming down the road. Joe House.
Yeah.
A pleasure as always.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's go get some sun.
And some food.
All right. Target
the sun off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.